Welcome to the Seattle Public Library's podcasts of author readings and library events, a series of readings, performances, lectures, and discussions. Library podcasts are brought to you by the Seattle Public Library and Foundation. To learn more about our programs and podcasts, visit our website at www.spl.org. To learn how you can help the Library Foundation support the Seattle Public Library, go to foundation.spl.org.
Good evening. I'm Chris Ashley, Program Manager of the Washington Center for the Book at the Seattle Public Library. Welcome to tonight's event with the Bushwick Book Club. So first, we thank the Seattle Times for generous promotional support for library programs. And always a special thank you to the Seattle Public Library Foundation's thousands of donors, including those of you here tonight. The private gifts to the foundation make possible hundreds and hundreds of free library programs every year. They help the library to provide programs and services and resources that touch the lives of everyone in our community. So thank you. So I knew about the Bushwick Book Club for some time, but I had a little trouble imagining what did they really do. Until last year, we had the chance to host Bushwick performing original music inspired by Tim Egan's Short Nights in the Shadow Country. My colleague Tim and I were just blown away by the beauty and the talent of the musicians. So I'm sure we're in for a treat tonight. Jeff Larson will eventually say a little bit more about the Bushwick Book Club and introduce the musicians. So with that, thanks for joining us tonight, and here is Bushwick Book Club.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for joining us in our living room. As we honor the original music inspired by Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, we're going to bookend the show with two original carols we wrote. Wrote them down for you there. So we're going to start with a bleak midwinter type of tribute to what the season is like in this corner of the world that's around. It's called Soggy and Dark. If you'll turn to page one of your order of service, you'll find it in there. And feel free to join in if you like.
Well, we're going to Far, the rest of the show is a pair of themes written by Wes and Jeff, respectively. And it sort of starts with the chronology of the book, where they start with Ebenezer Scrooge. And one of the first encounters, these spirits, at the beginning of this evening, and just in general, Scrooge's general theme and thought at the beginning of the book. And so, what's his theme?
I love the scene where Marley goes and visits and takes Scrooge through the window, and London is just filled with phantoms, all miserable and wailing. And maybe we know one of these stories, but it made me wonder what other stories were out there in the night. The apparition walked backward from him, and at every step it took, the window raised itself a little, so that when the specter reached it, it was wide open. Scrooge became sensible of confused noises in the air, incoherent sounds of agitation and regret, wailings inexpressibly sorrowful and self-accusatory. The specter, after listening for a moment, joined in the mournful dirge and floated out upon a bleak, dark night. Scrooge followed to the window, desperate in his curiosity. He looked out. The air was filled with phantoms, wandering hither and thither in restless haste and moaning as they went. Every one of them wore chains like Marley's ghost. Some few were linked together. None was free.
Thank you.
Whether these creatures faded into mist or mist enshrouded them, he could not tell. The day of their spirit voices faded together, and the night became as it had been when he walked on. Scrooge, he was a pretty evil looking guy.
Bells will ring.
even though the Christmas holidays, the central character remain the book, I didn't find this word to be overly religious. I think there's a lot of religions that teach looking good is kind of a well appointed. And Scrooge is definitely in the showing here in this scene when there's the Christmas past showing with us. And this song kind of came out, it's not individual, it comes out of the idea that, you know, a lot of religions don't teach being good. I think that often what comes along with that is something of a reward, for example, heaven. And so this song explores, you know, what if we were taught to be good, and if there wasn't anything in it for us.
Thank you.
strategic string, single secret sand mountain. I'd have to go to sleep. I'm the youngest of the five, and always felt to be that sad. I'm getting to take part in what's cool. But in the early hours, Christmas morning, as the girls we had to sleep, a little ritual.
Scrooge was a pretty angry dude, but I don't think that he started that way. it's really tough stuff. Stuff happened in his life. You know, he lost the love of his life. He, his best friend died 7 years ago, and he's been basically alone ever since. It's really kind of a sad situation. Super lonely. So this next song is called Three Ghosts. It kind of follows the night of Scrooge's, or this night, goes through all the ghosts. You can see them all up there. Past, present, and future. It's called Three Ghosts.
So you can find Vigo reading with Jesus. And then I also do a little more research and across those essays. But you know, aesthetically, there are good arguments to be made. And this song explores the idea that we get taught often from success and making money, that success equals money. And that being happy is usually not stressed as an important part of the equation. And being nicer as a society, we equated success with happiness as opposed to income, which a lot of people do in general. There's a long way to go. So this song kind of explores what we often get taught versus what I think really the true meaning of success, a successful life, is. So this one is called You Better Be Rich. Thank you. So this is the Fancy Wigs Ball scene, and I loved this scene as well as especially when Scrooge gets to spy on his nephew's party in the scene. There's just great descriptions of the games they play and the drinks they drink. The fiddler at this party, you know, disappears into a giant pot of something and then emerges and plays again as if the party just started. And there's just a lot of good cheer and fun. So we need this upbeat carol. It's called Celebrate the Season. It's on page 2 of your program.
Mistletoe hanging in the hallway,
jingle
jangle jingle all the way. Mistletoe hanging in the hallway, jingle jangle jingle all the way. We're eating and drinking, make merry. It's a wonderful magic time.
Just one for this one. But what we do generally is, for style,
we take a book that the teacher's already teaching. Like last year was Holes and Much Do About Nothing. There's a couple of the books we did, and we do a week-long class where we teach them about songwriting and coach them along to write their own songs. Then we show them what we do, we coach them to write their own songs, and on the fifth day of the five-day period, we bring them over a recording studio and record the kids performing those songs. It's pretty awesome. As soon as we put those headphones on, it's like the world lights up. It's pretty neat. Yeah. Yes?
This question might be a little nebulous, but you've been doing this for about 4 years now. Is it easy to get to write the songs from the books, or is there any rhyme or reason?
Well, I can tell you what, the books are just a vehicle. Like, we write music, before we wrote music inspired by books, we wrote music inspired by life. You know, it's just whatever you find inspiration, it's just a vehicle to find inspiration.
This podcast was presented by the Seattle Public Library and Foundation and made possible by your contributions to the Seattle Public Library Foundation. Thanks for listening.